Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up...
The victims included several British and Indian citizens. Three children of a Danish business tycoon also died, along with an Australian mother and her 10-year-old daughter.
That's Phil Mercer reporting from Sydney. We'll have the latest developments on the Sri Lanka attacks coming up. Also ahead, another powerful earthquake hits the southern Philippines a day after a 6.1 quake hit the country's north, killing at least 11 people. And India's prime minister joins millions of his citizens today in casting a ballot in the third phase of the world's biggest general election. It's all on today's International Edition. Well, the Islamic State group said today, without providing evidence, that it was responsible for a series of blasts in Sri Lanka that killed more than 300 people and injured hundreds of others on Easter Sunday. The claim came through the militant group's Amaq News agency. Also today, Sri Lanka's State Minister of Defense told Parliament that those who carried out the attacks did so in retaliation for attacks at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand last month. He did not provide details explaining how an initial investigation arrived at that conclusion. A police spokesman said today 40 people have been taken into custody in connection with the massacre, which marks the deadliest violence to hit the South Asian island since its two-decade civil war ended in 2009. The spokesman also said the death toll has risen to 310. The government said it is investigating whether the group had links to foreign terrorist organizations, even as the prime minister confirmed the country had received warning of the attacks from a foreign intelligence agency. For more insight into this tragedy, joining me live via phone is VOA's Jeff Seldon. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me.
Anytime.
Well, Jeff, since IS is claiming responsibility, how will Sri Lanka conduct its investigation, and will they have international assistance?
They are getting international assistance, and that's becoming more important because just in the last hour or so, we've gotten now a formal communique from the Islamic State terror group in which it offers proof that it is behind the attacks. Through this formal communique, it lists the names of the seven different suicide bombers that were set out to different churches and different hotels to target them, and it provides additional details. It also, through the Amaq News Agency now, has provided a video in which these attackers pledge allegiance to the ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now, this is an interesting development because just earlier today, Sri Lankan officials were focusing, and since yesterday, were focusing really on two local groups, the National Tawfiq Jamaat and Jamiatul Millat al-Ibrahim, these two local groups that had carried out smaller scale attacks until now, nothing of this sort, but then now appear to have been linked to these deadly attacks that have killed more than 300. So that international assistance will be coming from the U.S., Britain. There's also indications that it had previous warnings and some input from Indian intelligence as well. So the Sri Lankan prime minister says he is reaching out. They will be using this, and they're trying to get down to the bottom of who exactly was responsible and how this came about.
Also, Sri Lanka has been mostly calm for the past 10 years. So what are experts saying about the timing of these attacks?
Well, experts are starting to weigh in, but one of the things to note is that back in 2016, the Sri Lankan government said there were about 32 Sri Lankan nationals who left their home country and went to Syria to join ISIS and fight with them. Today, at a news conference, the prime minister said some of them had been killed, but many of them had come back and had been monitored by security agencies in Sri Lanka, and that some of them have been picked up in connection with this investigation. And that's something that Western intelligence officials, Western counterterrorism officials have worried about for some time, the impact of returning foreign fighters on their home countries. And right now, Sri Lankan officials are very much looking into that link as they try to identify some of the safe houses where these former ISIS fighters were staying and try to tap into their knowledge and interrogate them and find out what they know about these links.
Also, is IS, were they truly going after the Christian community?
Well, there seems to be, through their claims, two different things going on here. First, they say that they were seeking revenge for last month's terror attacks in New Zealand, where a white supremacist targeted two mosques in Christchurch, killing more than 50 people. That came through the claims from the Amaq agency. In the formal communique from ISIS itself, though, it said that it was seeking to revenge and was targeting areas where it knew that people from Crusader Coalition countries were going to be. And with Crusader Coalition countries, it means countries like the U.S., like Turkey, like Australia, like Britain, who had been members of the International Coalition to defeat ISIS and were instrumental in wresting territorial control from the terror group's self-declared caliphate, something that was completed just last month in northeastern Syria.
And just real quick, has the U.S. said what their role is going to be in this investigation?
Well, the U.S. is going to provide some help from the FBI, so it's going to have some experienced investigators helping out. Of course, the U.S. intelligence community is also looking at this. Just yesterday, intelligence officials were saying it looked like there was at least an inspirational link with Islamic State and the groups on the ground that had been identified by the Sri Lankan government. And again, there aren't many international terror groups or not many groups in Sri Lanka that are really capable of pulling off this type of massive, coordinated, deadly attack. One of the groups on the international scene that has experience with this is Islamic State. So the U.S. and other countries as part of the anti-ISIS coalition will likely be chiming in to help figure out what the links are and try to head off perhaps similar plans in other parts of the world.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. That's VOA's Jeff Seldon providing us with more insight into this. Also, Australia has confirmed that counterterrorism officers from the federal police will help Sri Lanka with its investigation into the Easter Sunday bombings. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Attacks on churches and hotels in Sri Lanka killed more than 300 people and wounded hundreds of others. Most of the victims were Sri Lankans, including many Christians, who were attending Easter Sunday church services. Sri Lanka's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has identified 31 foreign nationals among the dead, with more than a dozen unaccounted for. The victims included several British and Indian citizens. Three children of a Danish business tycoon also died, along with an Australian mother and her 10-year-old daughter. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
Two Australians have lost their lives in this terrible massacre, and my just heart is full of grief for them and their families, as I'm sure all Australians are.
Prime Minister Morrison says officers from the Australian Federal Police, the AFP, will be sent to Sri Lanka to help authorities track down the attackers. The AFP has experience in international terrorist atrocities and played a key role in the investigation of the bombings on the Indonesian resort island of Bali in October 2002. More than 200 people were killed, including 88 Australians. Lal Wickremutunga, Sri Lanka's Consul General in Sydney, says Australian expertise will be important.
We welcome the support of the Australian Prime Minister. Australia has always been a close ally of Sri Lanka. It is yet not known as to what level of support. Well, I believe they would offer a full gamut of things. Recently, we had 1,000 defence personnel in Sri Lanka, so Australia-Sri Lanka ties are very strong.
Police in Sri Lanka arrested 24 suspects in a series of raids just hours after the attacks. A jihadist group, the National Tawhid Jamaat, is thought to be behind the atrocities. It's emerged that Sri Lankan authorities were previously warned about the organization accused of Sunday's bombings. US media has reported that both American and Indian security agencies had alerted Sri Lanka about a threat earlier this month. However, reports say neither Sri Lanka's prime minister nor members of his cabinet were informed. The US State Department has warned of possible further attacks in a travel advisory. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Among the top stories in the world, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today on whether the country's 2020 census should include a question on the citizenship of all the people living in the U.S. And President Donald Trump is making a state visit in June to Britain, where he will meet with the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, as well as Prime Minister Theresa May. And protest leaders in Sudan urge their followers to continue a sit-in today aimed at forcing the new military rulers to hand power over to a civilian government. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA's International Edition.
This is Science in a Minute.
Eating a lot of certain foods may put you at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. But a couple of new studies say when you eat could also affect your heart health. A new study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology provides further evidence that missing breakfast puts you at an increased risk of death due to heart disease. Another study of patients who were recently discharged from a hospital after being treated for a heart attack takes mealtimes a step further. Published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, the study suggests heart attack patients who skipped breakfast and ate dinner right before bedtime were also 4 to 5 times more likely to die, have another heart attack, or experience angina. Study authors suggested at least a 2-hour break between dinner and bedtime. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The U.S. Geological Survey says another powerful earthquake has hit the southern Philippines a day after a 6.1 quake hit the country's north and killed at least 11 people. The magnitude 6.5 earthquake hit this afternoon and was centered 13 kilometers east of Tutabagan in the country's central region. The quake was relatively deep at 70.2 kilometers. There were no immediate reports of casualties or damages. Most of the dead in yesterday's quake were found in the rubble of a supermarket building that collapsed in the town of Porac on the main island of Luzon. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake was centered some 60 kilometers from the capital of Manila. Search and rescue crews are digging through the debris with cranes and jackhammers to find any survivors trapped in the debris. At least 2 dozen people remain missing. Well, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi joined millions of his citizens today in casting a ballot in the third phase of the world's biggest general election. As many as 188 million Indians across 13 states and 2 federally controlled territories are eligible to vote for candidates in 117 parliamentary districts, making it the largest of the 7 rounds of voting. Prime Minister Modi accompanied his elderly mom to his voting place in his home state of Gujarat. The leader of the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party has centered his campaign on national security and fighting terrorism. He told reporters that voter ID is much more powerful than NIED, a reference to improvised explosive devices typically used by terrorists. But the Indian Prime Minister is facing a strong challenge from the opposition Congress Party and its leader Rahul Gandhi. The opposition has attacked Modi on his stewardship and the economy and plunging farm incomes. This is VOA's International Edition.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has made headlines for pushing through unprecedented reforms. But many challenges lie ahead in creating a national consensus. Discussing Ethiopia's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Voices. We're talking about the news and issues you're talking about.
Sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower,
and change the rules.
It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
Join us on Facebook at VOA Our Voices.
It's time for Our Voices.
Well, California Senator Kamala Harris joined the call for President Donald Trump's impeachment as 5 leading Democratic presidential contenders clashed in a series of primetime town hall meetings that exposed deep divisions in a party desperate to end the Trump presidency. Harris' unexpected support for impeachment follows Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's push for Congress to begin the process to remove the Republican president following the release of special counsel Robert Mueller's redacted report. That plan would be all but certain to fail without significant Republican support. Associated Press reporter Sagar Magani has more.
In a conference call yesterday, Pelosi urged the rank and file to focus on fact-finding rather than impeachment, and then put on a show of force, having six powerful committee chairs argue they are effectively investigating the president. Judiciary Committee Chief Jerry Nadler has subpoenaed former White House counsel Don McGahn, who would be a star witness in an obstruction of justice case against the president. But Pelosi's approach is disappointing some Democrats pushing for impeachment proceedings, including 2020 contender Elizabeth Warren. Here at the White House, the president said yesterday he's not worried either way.
Not even a little bit.
Sagar Magani at the White House.
Well, Myanmar Supreme Court has denied the appeal of two Reuters journalists convicted of violating the country's centuries-old Official Secrets Act. While Lone and Kaya So-U were covering the brutal military campaign in Rakhine State that drove nearly 700,000 Rohingya Muslims across the border into Bangladesh in 2017. They were arrested in December of 2017 after meeting with two police officers and being given a stack of documents. The pair were investigating the massacre of 10 Rohingya by police and soldiers. They were convicted last September and sentenced to 7 years in prison. The High Court did not provide any detail on why it rejected the pair's appeal. Their lawyers argue the charges should be thrown out because the journalists were set up by police. In their trial, a law enforcement official testified he planted documents on the two men. Well, a UN agency says existing methods of protecting workers from accidents and disease are not good enough to deal with new occupational hazards arising from changes in the nature of work. The International Labor Organization is calling for revisions to address physical and psychological problems stemming from the changing job world. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva, where the report was released.
Recent ILO estimates find 2.78 million workers die from occupational accidents and work-related diseases each year. It says more than 374 million people are injured or fall ill every year through work-related accidents. The cost to the world economy from work days lost is nearly 4% of global gross domestic product. The ILO's report warns the changes and dangers posed by an increase in technology could result in a worsening of that situation. It says new measures must be implemented to deal with the psychosocial risks, work-related stress, and non-communicable diseases resulting from new forms of work. It says digitization, artificial intelligence, robotics, and automatization requires new monitoring methods to protect workers. Manal Aziz is an ILO technical specialist on occupational safety and health. On the one hand, she says, new technology is freeing workers from many dirty, dangerous jobs. On the other, she says, the jobs can raise ethical concerns. She tells VOA, surveillance of workers has become more intrusive, leading them to work longer hours, a situation that may not be ethical.
Also different monitoring systems that workers wear. Before you would punch in, punch out. Now you could wear bands on your wrist that show how many hours you're actually working in a production line. And there's even discussion of introducing implants where workers can be continuously surveyed on their production processes.
Aziz says a host of mental problems could be introduced by new work environments. The report also focuses on changes in demographics. It says employers have to adapt to the physical needs of older workers who may need training to safely operate equipment. Another area of concern is climate change. The ILO is positive about the green jobs being introduced, but it says care must be taken to protect people from warmer temperatures that increase risks including air pollution, heat stress, and newly emerging diseases. In the past, creating a safer working environment focused on the prevention of risks. Authors of the report say the ILO today needs to anticipate the risks. They say new skills and information about safety and health in the workplace have to be learned at an earlier age. Before young people apply for a job, they say they should know their rights. The power of knowledge, they say, will help protect employees in the workplace. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, an animal orphanage in Zimbabwe is one of the organization's leading efforts to ensure poaching and development do not wipe out the wildlife of the southern African nation. Columbus Mafunga reports from near Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
About an hour drive southeast of Bulawayo is a special orphanage caring for abandoned and injured animals. The Chipangali Wildlife Orphanage is home to 25 animal species, some endangered, some rescued from poachers. Vivian and Paddy Wilson established the orphanage in 1973, and a second generation now runs it. Chipangali's co-director Nikki Wilson explains what motivated her in-laws to begin rescuing wildlife.
When Chipangali was started, there was only Crow, which was in Durban, and there was the Daphne Sheldrake orphanage in Kenya. There was no other places where you could put animals that couldn't survive in the wild.
Animals are brought to Chipangali after being injured, seized or orphaned, says Wilson. Some are later released into the wild, some are not.
Some other birds will fly into power lines and then they're missing a portion of their wing and they won't be able to be released. We also get baby animals. Now, sometimes if they are reared, they get too tame and then they would just think that every human is friendly. Unfortunately, that's not the case in our world. So then they will stay here permanently and we, as I say, utilize them for education.
The oldest resident of the orphanage is a crocodile rescued 4 decades ago from a community angry as it was eating their goats and cattle. The locals wanted to kill the crocodile, believed to be in its 90s, but at Chipangali, it was made part of the education program for visitors. Wilson shows visiting journalists a display of animal fetuses removed from mothers that died in poacher snares.
We obviously are trying to educate mainly locals, but anyone who comes to visit us here at Chipangali into the importance of Zimbabwe's wildlife heritage. Tourists wouldn't come and visit Zimbabwe if there weren't the big five like elephant, lion, buffalo, leopard, and then a rhino. So we actually are trying to tell people to look after animals.
Since its creation, Chipangali Wildlife Orphanage has rescued and released numerous animals into the nearby Matopo National Park. They include several troops of vervet monkeys and baboons, more than 30 pangolins, 5 leopards, 20 cheetahs, and various antelopes, small carnivores, and birds of prey. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
You've been listening to VOA's International Edition. You can find us at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Patrice Martin, and our engineer, Joe Gill. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA1, the voice of America.